Thought Leader Thursdays are sponsored by Associated Bank. Whether you're buying, building, or refinancing a home, Associated Bank is dedicated to finding the right mortgage solution for you. Visit associatedbank.com/thoughtleadership. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
We're here this morning with Brett McKittrick, who's an SVP and senior HR consultant at Associated Benefits and Risk Consulting, which is part of Associated Bank. Brett, good morning. Welcome back.
Thanks, Steve. Great to be here.
I want to talk with a couple of stories that have been in the news that I think employers and employees are chatting about. And this is one that I find interesting because there is a little bit of nuance going on. There's some new rules for overtime, when a worker has to be paid for overtime and how much they make. Talk to us a little bit about this.
Sure, and this is pretty groundbreaking. The Department of Labor, beginning January 1st, 2020, the Department of Labor has issued a new rule that could affect how companies pay employees. So what that rule affects is people who are considered to be exempt employees. And when I say exempt, I mean exempt from the Fair Labor Standards Act overtime rules. So basically, the default is an employer must pay a person overtime if they work more than 40 hours a week. There's some exceptions to that rule if an employee is classified as an exempt worker, exempt from that overtime rule in essence. So to be an exempt worker, it might be by definition, like a lawyer or a teacher. Professionals are always considered exempt. Other types of workers are considered exempt based on how much they make in a year or in a week time. So for instance, a machine operator for a company, no matter how much they make, they're always going to be considered non-exempt, sort of an hourly worker, if you will, and subject to overtime. But that machine operator's boss, that supervisor, based on the definition of what they do and how much they get paid, could be considered exempt. The law that is changing, or what the law is changing, is that minimum salary threshold that an employer must pay a person to be exempt. Right now, it sits at $23,660 a year. It's raising around $12,000 to $35,568 a year, which is a significant change.
Well, will more people be included in that? Is that the net result of this?
That is. So employers have one of two decisions to make, and make very quickly, and I'm sure many have already made this, or hopefully so, since this takes effect in a couple of weeks. But you either need to raise a person's salary if you don't want to if you don't want them to be subject to the overtime rules. So in essence, hey, we're working this person 50 hours a week and we don't want to pay them overtime, but we're only paying them $30,000 a year.
Right.
So we need to raise that person's salary. Or the alternative is reclassify that person, start keeping track of their hours, which is a real pain if you're not used to doing that for that type of position, and actually count them for overtime. So you can think of some of the industry, especially in the hospitality world, the assistant manager of a small hotel or a restaurant would fit right in here.
So from the employee's standpoint, I'm sure employees have a lot of questions about this. How do they know whether or not they're being treated fairly in this scenario?
Well, that's a great question, because oftentimes people can't rely on their employers in those type of scenarios. First of all, just knowing, hey, you should know already whether you're considered an exempt or non-exempt employee. Even if you're not familiar with those terms, do you track your hours for your employer? Do you, you know, clock in and out? Do you submit a timesheet? That's the telltale sign that you are a non-exempt worker.
Let's talk a little bit about the part of this conversation that involves talking about our salary. So it's one thing for the company to tell you you're an exempt person and tell you what your salary is and talk about your salary. But what about among employees? And what can we say to each other about what we make?
Yeah. Well, really about anything. There's an old law called the National Labor Relations Act, which is sort of the main body of law behind how unions are created and regulated. So regardless of whether an employer or company is a union shop or has union employees, this law applies to them. And what the National Labor Relations Act says is that employees are allowed to talk about their working conditions, including their wages or salary, to coworkers. So in essence, an employer can't say, Brett, you can't discuss your pay with anyone else. They're prohibited from maybe making that rule. Otherwise, it would be considered to be retaliatory under that act. Now, take the new overtime rule that we were just talking about and that salary threshold being raised. You can imagine that if, let's say you, Steve, are in a position above mine, but in order to keep me as an exempt employee, they have to raise my salary. So I'm very close to you now, even though you work harder than me, you've been here longer than me, that sort of thing. And so in that regard, that company may not want me to talk about my salary to you, because how would that make you feel? Wait, why does Brett get a $5,000 a year raise? They don't care about the law, right? You know, in that regard. And so that company still can't tell me, Brett, you can't talk about your salary. It creates a little bit of a conundrum, or some awkwardness at the very least.
You know, and this brings up the question too. There are all kinds of ways, I think, that companies get around doing certain things. But is one of the ways that you can bypass the rules we've just been talking about is to classify somebody as a contractor?
Oh, great question. Yes, if it works. And so there's a lot of vested interest in terms of whether someone is considered to be an independent contractor or an employee, and by a lot of different bodies of government. The Department of Labor cares for the reasons we just talked about, wage and hour issues. The IRS cares greatly because they like what? Payroll taxes, right? They like their FICA money. States care, state of Illinois or Wisconsin or Minnesota, states care about it for workers' compensation rules and paying unemployment. So it would be nice and easy and convenient for every employer, and certainly this is an Uber case, you know, in recent times, to consider all of our workers independent contractors. We just won't pay payroll taxes. We won't subject them to any laws. Unfortunately, it's more than a notion. And to really be able to lawfully classify somebody as an independent contractor, there's a bunch of hoops that the company should jump through.
Yeah, and that's if you're getting changed to that designation, just remember to keep paying your taxes through the year, right?
That's a good point, too, yeah. Right? So you're not hit at the end.
Let's talk about something that's in the news. The vaping story has been one that has been out there a lot, and I guess the question is, how is this being handled in the workplace? Are people who vape allowed to do that inside buildings? Is it being treated just like smoking or not?
Yeah, great question. Well, first of all, different states have different rules on this. And actually, in the state of Illinois, there is a public space vaping law that's sitting in the Senate right now. I think it's kind of stalled the last I looked into it. So there may be a ban or at least a partial prohibition on vaping in public places. But right now, in essence, employers can prohibit someone from vaping on site. Based just like they can prohibit someone from smoking on site or being drunk or consuming alcohol on site. However, what an employer can't do is discriminate against you if you choose to vape, just like you choose to drink, for instance, alcohol, on your own time. You know, Illinois, just like most states, have laws that protect people from using lawfully protected products, and vaping is certainly one of those.
So are you still allowed to have a vape break then? It's not really your time then, is it?
Well, that's exactly right. And so how are companies handling this? Maybe because we've seen a decrease in smoking, cigarette smoking, tobacco, but we've seen an uptick in this. Will they have designated vaping areas? Sure, yeah. Will those be outside? They have to stay in the cold just like all the cigarette smokers? Maybe so.
And then another HR question. We know how smokers are treated when it comes to health insurance. Are vapers treated the same way?
We've not seen that yet. And I think, but don't be surprised, because I think, despite in the news all the recent tragedies we've seen with a lot of the vaping, I think it's still a little bit new from a health insurance perspective to know what the adverse side effects or health issues are with regard to vaping. But it wouldn't surprise me.
Another story that's just happened over the last week is the sports teams, Major League Baseball, reclassifying marijuana from the drug to alcohol. So they're treating basically players who get caught smoking marijuana as the same as they treat players who get caught drinking. That feels like it's a watershed moment and maybe a trendsetter.
I think it might be. And, you know, Major League Baseball being an obvious, very public national employer is seeing a paradigm shift, right? They're seeing a change in the winds, if you will, where in a lot of states, smoking marijuana or vaping, THC, for instance, or eating an edible, right, is legal. And they recognize that, just like consuming alcohol is legal. Now, again, Major League Baseball, a team can prohibit someone from being high while they're playing. And, you know, they can subject them to tests just like they could someone being under the influence of alcohol. But I think we're seeing it change to that type of handling that type of a drug as opposed to the harder ones.
And it feels like this is something HR departments are going to have to start dealing with pretty regularly starting January 1st.
Yes.
Yeah. Brett, how can people get a hold of you and have a one-on-one if they want?
Sure. Well, my email is the best way. It's my first name, B-R-E-T, dot, my last name, M-C-K-I-T-R-I-C-K, at associatedbank.com.
Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks you.